Welcome back to Built Different, a podcast and community choosing to approach innovation differently. I'm Grant Hagen.
I'm Brian Mazzaretta.
And we're on a mission to rewrite the narrative around what innovation truly means.
Last season, we did 12 episodes more focused on the field.
And this season, we packed up our gear, joining teams in site trailers, offices, and even a few podcast studios, where we focused on the executive level and how innovation is making an impact within their organizations.
New this season, we're introducing live streams to invite you to join the conversation.
Also, we want to equip you by providing show recaps from each episode in our new Built Different download. Think different, be different, and build different. Favorite time of year. We've done this before, and we're back doing it. A little fun reunion episode, ending the season with us here. I can't believe it's already the end of the year. Some fun milestones to celebrate for Built Different right around Thanksgiving time, which we'll hit on here in a little bit. But we somehow wrangled in the best of the best to come back and talk with us again, which these are personally, I think, are my favorite episodes to get to chat with everyone again. And Brian, good to see you again, friend.
Yeah, good to see you as well. Can't wait for this. My favorite episode of the year.
It is always the reunion episodes. We even squeezed out two reunion ones last season. And I feel like this one is just so compact with you guys joining in. So I want to get out of the way. Again, I recognize you guys haven't met and introduced each other yet. So Wilson, I'm going to start with you up in the top right, and I'll kind of circle around here so you guys can get to know each other a little bit. And then we'll dive into some fun kind of end of year questions that I feel like this season kind of always brings. So Wilson, kick us off. Tell us who you're with, what you do, and I'll kind of work us around the screen here.
Hey, everyone. Nice to see you again for the, as I've met before, and nice to meet everybody who I haven't met before. So Wilson Hayworth, I oversee the virtual design and construction department at Juno Construction Company, and we're a large family-owned general contractor in the Southeast, headquartered Atlanta, Georgia, built in Miami, Tampa, really anywhere that in the Southeast. I oversee our VDC stuff, which is kind of vertically integrated through everything from design build all the way through layout and operational technology tools, which is kind of where we fall into with the drone program. Nice to meet you guys.
Wilson's got a great stash going here. I'm a little envious. I had to get rid of my stash here earlier, but a lot of good facial hair on here too. Not to call you out here soon, Sean, but all right, Lucas, you're next up on my chart here.
Hey, everybody. Good to see some familiar faces and some new faces as well. I'm Lucas Manis, Director of IT Applications at Ryan Companies. Never thought I'd find myself inside of a traditional IT organization. I come from a background in operations in construction, both from a project management track and a VDC track. So I get to kind of work on all the shared services tools behind the scenes that make Ryan Companies diverse portfolio of the things that we do kind of hopefully work somewhat well together. Some days that happens better than others. So happy to be here.
Love it. And Ryan Companies, you're based out of where, Lucas?
We have 16 offices. Our headquarters and where I'm at is in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Love it. Love it. It's getting cold that time of year now. I'm going to bump to my left here. Mr. Sean, you're front and center in my screen here. So
how y'all doing today? I'm Sean Farrell. I'm a construction manager, like a project executive for Layton Construction here in Nashville. I oversee about, probably about 90% of our Nashville work, which includes some of our larger clients. Randy, who you're going to meet here in a little bit, he and I have been working together for a while, and we had the great opportunity to be a part of one of these episodes, and really enjoyed it. We have a lot going on here in Nashville, and we're just thankful for the work we have, and thanks for having us today.
Sean, I think you might have, we'll share a little bit towards the end, one of our most hot take quotes on socials. We'll share it with some numbers with you guys, but there's a couple of them that hit resonated pretty well with a few folks. So good to see you again, and glad to have you back. Randy, I'll work a little left here. Go for it.
Yeah, thanks, Grant. So I'm Randy Christiansen. I'm a senior VDC manager based in Nashville here with Sean. So Layton's a national fast-growing company based in Salt Lake City, Utah, offices around the country. But yeah, we're here in lovely Nashville, Tennessee.
Love it, love it. And Randy and Sean are both on the same project that we got to go out and visit at Vanderbilt. So if you guys are over in Nashville, which TBD if we're headed there soon for our conference again next year, but more fun with that soon. So I'm going to work myself.
Did you just announce that?
No, I didn't announce it. Not yet. We're still working through some stuff. That was a tease. That probably wasn't the best thing. So, all right, I'm going to work work to my bottom right here. All the Turner gang down there.
Yep. Hey guys. I'll go first, Cole. Me and Cole are sitting here in our Nashville, Tennessee as well office. So just down the street from our Layton friends. But my name is Gary Chapman. Good to see some familiar faces as well as some new ones on the call. I'm our regional BDC manager that oversees our Memphis, Nashville, and Huntsville business unit, as well as part of some of our Southeastern business units as well. Man, everything from, Wilson.
Wilson.
His stash threw me off. It was so impressive. So in awe. But some things that Wilson mentioned earlier, just everything that VDC does from, starting pre-con all the way through closeout, every technology that's out there. Of course, reality captures in the forefront of what we like to do and what we see a big value. So yeah, good to be here and excited. Going to have some fun today.
Yeah, love it. Sorry. I was moving out of your box already there, Cole. Sorry, buddy. Keep going.
You're good. We're both together. It's confusing. Cole Milberger, local VDC manager for Nashville as well. Just been champion Nashville with Gary here. Turner locally has, like Gary mentioned, Nashville, Huntsville, Memphis in our region locally, or headquartered up in New York as well. 42 offices across the United States. So excited to be here. Thanks for having us back.
Love it. I left the two Joshes for the end, but Bergstrom, I'll give it to you first, and then we'll cap it off with the other Josh.
Right on. So, Josh Bergstrom, VP of Field Operations, Brian Companies with Lucas. I basically work with our field teams with respect to scheduling, learning and development, field technology, and field data analytics. So that's kind of my specialty here at Ryan. And just looking forward to hearing what everybody's got to say today and maybe learn a few new things from everybody.
Come on. Josh, finish us up here.
Right on. Thanks, Brian and Grant, for having me back. It's great to see everybody and meet the new faces. A lot of familiar faces on here, so that's great. My name is Josh DiStefano. I work for DPR Construction. I'm currently a regional innovation leader. Actually cover two of our regions, being the Southwest and the Northwest. And I have a similar background to some of the other folks, virtual design and construction, reality capture. I was also in operations for a while. So I've had several different roles ranging from PE to regional VDC lead. But what I do now is more like really, guide and lead and direct innovation and help folks take advantage of our innovation program, but also build partnerships with some of our technology developers and outside vendors, along with try to influence our adoption, along with influencing our company strategy around innovation.
Love it. I just realized this as you guys are wrapping up. We have all four time zones covered, which is just crazy. And obviously, from top to bottom companies, you guys all know each other from a company standpoint, but even just roles too. I think that's what was really fun about this year is, Brian and I were trying to think when we were putting some of these episodes and folks together really early on in the planning stage, it was like, man, we really want to get a good diversity of just roles and regions and all those things. And man, you guys really stepped up and let us do that, which again, just, I feel like half the time in these conversations right now, it's like thanking you guys, but it's really fun. It's cool to see kind of a summit of that for all things together. So Brian, anything you want to add before we jump into all things wrapping up 2023, all the Spotify wraps I've seen now and all the cool stuff that we're finishing up this year on?
No, let's get right into it. I'm excited.
So Brian and I were talking about like, all right, What do we want to pick your guys' brains about? One, just to even before we dive, like if you guys haven't tuned into other folks' episodes, would highly encourage you to. It's really cool. You guys all really kind of uniquely touched on different parts and pieces of just implementation, innovation, challenges. This year we were a little bit more focused on like an exec level and above of how do you kind of get folks to see from different perspectives, that maybe a corporate perspective of where innovation kind of ties into. And so, yeah, if you guys haven't tuned into each other's episodes, one, encourage you to do that. But what we want to kind of talk about today was just kind of how years wrap up for you guys and your roles individually. And how do you guys like reflect on things that, you know, this year entailed, and also plan for, you know, next year, whether that's like, hey, at a corporate strategy level or individual department level, or even just like individual level for your own kind of like hopes and growth. So I just kind of wanted to maybe kick off of like, were there goals that you guys had this year, really like specifically to any one of those categories, individually, department or project wise, that you were like really excited or encouraged that you guys saw come to fruition? And again, I'll use kind of that hand raiser down there in the bottom middle with that little, if anyone wants to kind of kick us off to start. But yeah, that's really just what I wanted to kind of hear was like, hey, what was the goal you had this year, and what's something to celebrate that you guys saw now kind of being in the season? Love it. See some hands going. Mr. Bergstrom, I'll let you go first.
So I'll be the first one to say I am not a goal person. I despise goals with a passion. I do set them. I try to work with them, but it seems the past few years, you know, whatever you set in motion gets sidetracked by something major. And I think we experienced that this year personally with the stuff I work with, you know, just new clients, new direction based on opportunity. It kind of throws things off on the direction you're heading, so you can pivot and go take care of something that's potentially can be more beneficial for the operations and for the company. So I tend to try to stay more nimble and just go with the flow with what we do. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, we got to have a path forward, and we have to have an understanding. So we still do obviously work on setting goals, and we're coming into the end of the year for us specifically is always really, really busy, because we're not only doing goals and strategic planning, we're doing budgets, and we're also doing performance reviews. So October, December is hectic, but it's a good time. And, you know, just really looking at our business, looking where we're wanting to go. And we try to align our goals for 2024 with the corporate plan and move forward.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't like setting them, but they are helpful to like, oh, I did think through the need for that as a, as an idea to have. But yeah, it's a good point there. Wilson, what do you got?
I was going to say, like, for us as a company, we do two annual town halls where we bring everybody in. So December, like next week, is our end of the year town hall. You know, it's an exciting time for the company. We go over revenues, promotions, all that great stuff. But, you know, it ties into the departmental strategic planning. And I think this year is a really cool year this year for us. We had 2020, we set our company's big, hairy, audacious goal, you know, 20-year goal. What do we want to achieve in 20 years? To achieve that goal, we had different base camp milestones that were set like every 5 years. And then we had a strategic vision that on the departmental level that was kind of like a 3-year plan for it. So the end of this year being into 2023 was a really good chance to reflect back on the last 3 years and see, did we hit what we set out to do? And you know, in a lot of metrics, we well exceeded that on the VDC side. I mean, I think about where we were 3 years ago, just kind of starting our journey with drone deploy, really getting into the reality capture game. We had like 2 VDC employees. This year we've got 11 VDC employees, and we're now implementing artificial intelligence and, you know, setting all these really cool things. And like, there's a lot of stuff that we looked at this year that never thought was going to happen on it. And to see how far like drone deploy came, the destruction site merger, how well that integrated, that really helped us achieve a lot of our goals that we set out in 2020. We didn't know we were going to have a, you know, a combined platform with aerial and ground photography. We had 2 different business goals that we needed great site documentation, and by the end of this year, we can say, yeah, we've got great site documentation. Thanks to all the work you guys did.
One thing I want to add about Wilson that always stood out to me was, Wilson, how many people are at Juno and how many people are Part 107 certified?
I think we're probably 200 full-time employees, and you know, depending on the season, it's somewhere between 30 to 50 Part 107. So like one in four employees is able to fly a drone.
That's pretty cool statistic.
I don't want to single you out, Wilson, here, but you definitely are the smallest company here. I didn't realize that, and that is not a I think that's actually a fun thing to kind of think through and seeing all this stuff that you guys have been able to do. And yeah, it's encouraging to have just a spectrum of different sizes of companies that you guys are all coming from, which is really fun too. So yeah, love it. That's great. And thanks for the shameless plug. didn't think you were going there, but Josh, you're up next for me.
Yeah. So there's a couple of questions in there, right? Like goals that we're proud of. There was a couple of things I had that I can share with the group. And one was, we have a partnership and we've been working with an augmented reality company called SightLink. We've been working with them for a while and really pushing for them to really just trying to help them meet their goals and also develop something that works really well for us. We saw that get released in middle of the year. Quite a bit of adoption and just you know, tons of feedback. So there was just what I was really looking for was engagement from our teams. And we set a pretty lofty goal of number of projects that we wanted to touch and, you know, people that we wanted to onboard with it. And in a few months, we got really darn close, considering that it was kind of a year goal and we were looking at, you know, 6 months in when we got started with that specific adoption. So I was pretty proud of that we touched almost 30 projects with that and onboarded 45, 40, maybe even 50 people, something like that, in a pretty short amount of time. And that's, you know, driving folks to use that tool and leverage models in the field. So that's super cool. The other thing was we set out to sort of revamp how we plan our pilots and really push back a little bit on the chasing shiny objects and sort of just, you know, finding things out there that, you know, look cool and maybe folks want to implement them, but we wanted to push back on what value is it providing? What's the ROI? You know, what is really the value proposition or the problem statement and all this kind of stuff. And what we ended up doing was putting together a really solid pilot plan template. And it was interesting just the reaction amongst our own team. You know, we had folks push back like, oh, you know, folks aren't going to take the time to do this, et cetera, et cetera. And I was excited to see folks at the company that were like, yes, this is what we need. We need this clarity. We need this direction. We need these prompts. Because basically what it is it's an outline that has about 50 questions organized that help you think through the entire 360 degrees of what the pilot entails, and a little bit of thinking about the future and, you know, tell me the pricing model of the solution. Don't just tell me how much this pilot's going to cost. Don't just tell me how much the solution's going to cost. Tell me how much this is actually going to cost your project to try out. Let's think about the problem in terms of the company and the business and what challenges we're trying to solve to improve the way we do work. And does it align with our strategies? Because if it doesn't, we're not going to do it and things like that. And so it was a little bit of being able to push back, but also get people to see why we're asking these questions and what the benefit of it is. Because on the back end, we want the story to sort of speak for itself. We tried this out. This is the problem we were trying to solve. This is what we were trying to go for. And we hit those metrics. And we think this is a great tool to expand. I can build on that as an innovation leader. I can't really build on, yeah, that was cool and everybody should do it. So we really wanted to hone in on what's that that planning process. And we've made huge strides in that. So I'm pretty proud of that. To talk a little bit about the end of year planning is very similar to what's been talked about previously. We like to start business planning and budgeting late Q3, becomes a very early time of the year. We're also doing reviews and different things like that, just like Josh mentioned. Or maybe it was Wilson, sorry. everybody's doing a lot of that same stuff. So pretty busy time of the year, but how we approach it is we approach it as a team. We have some pretty high level goals that are like 3 to maybe even 6 years out that sort of we maintain, and we sort of look at what are some objectives and trying to build off of last year's successes, like the pilot plan, for example. Like, what's the next step with that? And that ties to a goal, for example, of having a world-class innovation program or process. So that's something that sort of, you know, keeps going, but we change objectives and initiatives as we go along. So we get pretty granular in the planning process, but it's definitely a team effort.
Yeah, it's funny. Lucas, I saw a little applause there, and it's funny that like some of that small stuff, I hate to even call it small, being like, hey, like, why do we pilot things? Like, what are the things that qualifies as a pilot? I think we heard that through a couple other episodes Brian and I were doing, and yeah, just like, if that's the first experience with working some of these kind of products, it's like, it's a great goal to have. It's like, hey, let's maybe reevaluate what that looks like. And no, it's great stuff. Lucas, go for it.
Yeah, Josh, I love all of that, and a lot of what I was going to kind of offer is very similar. I want to say, I think even at the time, this time last year, I know for sure, but even at the time, I think we recorded our episode at ENR Future Tech, I was in an innovation lead role. And since then, I've kind of moved over into IT, which, you know, in retrospect is a monumental shift inside of a company culture. And one, you know, not only did kind of my role come under an IT umbrella, but with that, we brought in some of our data analytics tools and team members into that group. We brought in our computational design team members in that group to really kind of institutionalize the innovation spirit inside the company, and it not just being a side group that's like trying to break things and do new things. It's very intentional. Our pilots are very well kind of set up with what is the problems that you're trying to solve. Josh and I, the other Josh and I, have a ongoing joke. Every time we kind of get engaged to enter a new pilot or start looking at a new piece of software, is it could solve up a problem, but is it solving the right problem or the most important problem to the team or to the business? Because there's more solutions available than there are hours in the day. And we always try to rally our team members back around the, you know, to Josh's point, we don't always like it, but right now we're setting business goals for 2024. So we try to bring our team members back to the table when they kind of get this new idea of, hey, you know, last year, last December, we said we were going to set out in 2024 and solve this problem for the business. How does this pilot or proof of concept, you know, experiment align to some of that work? And it's been really informative seeing it from the IT side of there's so much other stuff that needs to happen behind the scenes for team members to go out and try new tools and implement new tools. And so finding a way to support that and nurture that grassroots spirit, but also have the mechanisms to implement them at the organizational level when things do hit and when things are like a good fit. How do you bring that into the company and operationalize it? So it's been a really, you know, really great year in that respect of thinking back on the changes that we've made.
Yeah. It's funny hearing you talk about like department and role changing. I feel like, Brian, that was kind of the topic in June in the reunion episode. We were talking about just new job titles and where departments were either merging or, you know, kind of better defining themselves. And so, yeah, it's interesting, even within the short 6 months, even on the back end of this year, hearing you say some of those things and how that's actually playing out. So Sean and the Turner boys, we'll wrap you up. So Sean, go for it here.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. No, go for it. Go for it, Brian.
No. I was just going to say, yeah. Sorry, I thought you called the wrong person. Go ahead.
Mr. Sean?
I didn't really have my hand up, so
Randy had his hands up. That's what I was trying to say.
Sean, I actually do have a question for you after Gary and Cole. There was something I don't want to miss. Randy, I was looking at Randy and I saw Sean. Randy, go for it, buddy.
We both have goatees, so it's okay. So I was going to take a tangent off of, I think the first Josh mentioned his love-hate relationship with goals. And I maybe kind of think for a minute, like maybe instead of saying setting goals, we can set navigational headings. And so that allows some flexibility into how we get to that end goal. I'll use the word goal just for a minute. But I think that's especially applicable when we're talking about uncharted waters. And in our industry, we are in those uncharted waters with technology, automation, AI becoming more of a buzzword. Like, we don't really know exactly how these technologies are going to benefit us and how they're going to be rolled out, but we know there's value there. We know we need to investigate those, because I think all of our companies have the ultimate end goal of maximizing efficiency, reducing risk, ensuring safety, quality projects. You know, we all are aligned in that goal. How we get to it is up for debate, or how we see value in taking one path over the next. And the only way to do it is to try to navigate those waters.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing that, man, we won't dive into, but it's hey, if goals like overwhelm you, like almost like take a step back and say like, all right, well, like what's the direction, right? Or I've heard it said like, hey, what's the horizon that you're like going or navigating towards? And yeah, I don't know. Everyone has a different feel or emotional response to hearing goals. But yeah, I think it's helpful to hear you say too. It's like, hey, take a step back. If that's overwhelming, like, let's just think about the directions we're going and, you know, kind of setting some waypoints along the way. I said turn up, boy. Yeah, go for it.
Well, so like, honestly, a quote I love is James Clear. It's like from the book Atomic Habits, but he said something along the lines of like, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the systems you have in place. So like, whatever the process or systems you have, like, you will always fall to those as opposed to like just setting that. But love that quote.
Brian over here just hitting us with some tweetable truth there. That was nice.
Good one.
Yeah. The Turner boys. Well,
yeah, sorry, boys. Turner crew, maybe. I don't know. I always see you guys together, so I'm always just like, all right.
It's team.
Team, there it is.
We're kind of echoing each other here. I think that one thing specifically, like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, what I felt a goal was is definitely not the same as it is today, in my view, right? I think a goal, almost kind of look at it as for a standard process, right? And technology and innovation is nothing standard about it, right? It's, if you set a goal, you know, for something in the next year, 2 years, even next couple months, some sort of technology, some sort of tool, some sort of workflow will come through. It's almost expected now to change that goal, right? So I like the word, I'm not sure who used it earlier, but the direction, right? What direction, what's trending, what type of direction do we want to be based on, you know, where we're at as a company? We're a huge company, right? So we have a lot of silos. It has different types of goals. You know, us, we're pretty selfish in our goals, right? We want everything now, but we understand that it's not necessarily possible all the time. So not to go too much on a tangent, but awareness and kind of adoption is the two words I would sum up our goals as, right? We wanted to get out of that proof of concept phase where everyone knows that what we're doing around reality capture with drone deploy specifically is a big value there. That's old news. It's more of spreading the gospel, right? Of getting that awareness to our 12,000 employees out there, right? Nationwide in different regions, different projects. It's getting the awareness that these tools exist. And then on top of that, getting that adoption from that group. So that's really been our focus this year, I would say, is not necessarily a goal, but where we wanted to be at in that direction is getting awareness and adoption as us as a company. I'm not sure, Cole.
Yeah, and I think we've done a great job this year following that direction of awareness and adoption. I mean, we've went from 3 BDC folks regionally to 7 this year.
Yep.
So that's been a huge growth for us. You know, we've consolidated that department regionally. We used to just be 3 of us in Nashville supporting, and we've grown out to support the entire region physically as well. Which
goes back to that demand, right? We kind of created a monster, right? Now we need more people to support it. So
we've taken these tools and put them in superintendent's hands. We've ripped them away, and now we're in trouble. And that's a great problem to have. And so that speaks to the adoption that we're pushing every single day with these people or with our teams. But, you know, I think the biggest thing this year for us is just simply pushing the concept of a profit center for ourselves and getting that across to our leadership and making sure they understand the value of allowing us to track everything that we do as a department so that we can grow and bring more value to our company and ultimately to our clients at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think what's hard, but also one of the best parts about this year, maybe it's this thing, the Thanksgiving mood is like, I don't feel like we, and maybe this is an industry thing, we don't like celebrate our wins enough, you know, like we're always like, ah, next year, like, what are we going to do? What are like the themes and the goals? And like, I don't know. I think just to like maybe extend the Thanksgiving table to this, you know, it's like, it's awesome and encouraging to like celebrate wins across an industry and teams and departments. And like, yeah, I think just hearing things from each of you guys, it's just fun to hear because knowing kind of your guys' teams and sizes of companies and challenges that you guys are all facing, like, yeah, there doesn't seem to be a platform across companies like this to be able to like share that. And I'm sure even you guys hearing some of these things like, oh, well, we're not a size of a Turner, or we're not in like a Josh's team with DPR, but like, it is cool to hear them though. Cause it, I don't know, it's fun to be able to spotlight and just recognize a lot of hard work from a year, kind of across the table. But Sean, I'm going to single you out here. And yes, I'm actually looking at you, Sean, because you are the most seasoned person here in this industry.
Pretty obvious. That's okay. Hey, but
what I wanted to ask you was like, man, you've seen goals come and go across your career and, you know, this idea of goal setting and like what stands out to you? Like, what is your relationship with a goal, right? Or like what, as you kind of think back to your career a little bit, like what do you think of when you hear that word? Like,
well, I heard a lot of folks here earlier speaking pretty eloquently about the fact that goals are very fluid and you can write them down. You can chase them. At the end of the day, we're builders. And if you're a great builder, you can build goals around being a great builder. But as soon as you guide away from that, because you get into the other habits and all the headwinds of economic problems, I could go down a litany of things that we run into as an industry. But for me, currently, right now, for me as a goal, for me personally, is the people around me. I think I even said that in the podcast. I measure my successes by the successes of the people that I work with. And that's kind of what I want to leave as a legacy as I walk away, knowing that we've left it in good hands. But we are in a different world today. As I've said before, technology plays such a instrumental role in our success and failure. And we have to find a way to bridge those gaps and connect all the dots with that. So I suppose a goal for me moving forward with the help of Randy and the people at Layton, we are a large company, is that we tie all these things together. We use this technology wisely. We use the AI wisely, but we never get away from the fact that we're still humans at heart and we have to teach how to be good, great builders. And that step, that lesson, is still a hands-on lesson. It's not through a computer and it's not through a program. We still have to teach ourselves and teach our people as we hire them how to be great builders. So that'd probably be my goal all the time.
Yeah, I love that. That's like what y'all really focused around in your guys' conversation. It's just cool even to see both of you guys here, you and Sean, you and Randy both here. And like, yeah, it's just neat. You know, it's fun to be able to pair up with someone a couple steps ahead of you in your career at your companies, which I'm sure all of you guys do have, right? And just to kind of learn from them and the the wisdom perspective brings, right? It's like, oh, you've been here for 10 years longer than me. Maybe I shouldn't get as fretful as I do about these things that I think matter so much, but you're just like, just stay cool here. Be fine, you know? But yeah, just the focus on building and can't take that.
So if I could, one last thing before we the folks from Turner, they caught my ear on something. Their goals are to try and find a way for leadership, senior leadership, to embrace some of the cost centers that y'all are going through. I agree and I would say champion that to the best of your ability. But always remember that at the end of the day, we find ourselves in that. Again, economic headwinds that come and go all the time. And we're just coming out of one. I mean, the news is really favorable for 2024 going on. But 2023 was certainly a wait and see year. So we all felt that. I think that all of what you guys all offer, young, old, whatever, in the programs, keep pushing for it. As far as it being a profit center, from my perspective, as someone has to answer for that, and I'm in a lot of meetings for that, it's harder said than it's just hard to do. So it's a cost of doing business. And if companies are unwilling to recognize the value of technology, then they're unwilling to change and grow to the economic requirements that are in front of us. So I hope that y'all have that success moving forward, but don't quit, because you guys are too valuable to the full end game of what we're trying to accomplish. But we have to mirror that again. We have to mesh that together with teaching our people to be great builders.
Well said. Yeah. Love it. I want to turn the corner here a little bit. Good bow tie on 23. And what excites you guys for next year? I mean, I feel like this is a little bit of a pause, right? We're like, all right, we're going to, in between the holidays. And it's so funny. I feel like this time of the year is kind of that catch up of like, all right, it's good seeing family, and you're going to see them maybe again in a little bit and take a little bit of time watching some bowl games and, you know, whatnot here for the next few weeks. But like, yeah, what January 1 or whatever date it is when we put back in our seats and our desks, you know, come the start of the new year, like, man, what are you guys excited about for next year that really gets you thinking at night, you know, over these next few weeks before the year ends? And anything kind of stand out that you guys have been thinking about more?
Yeah, I can go first.
Yeah, go for it.
I missed the hand raise. Sorry.
Hey, that's okay.
Sorry, Gary. I beat you to it. Lucas mentioned this earlier, touched on it a little bit. He was talking about innovation groups within the organization and sort of trying to bring those above table, or make those mainstream, as I like to call it. And we have a similar strategy where we have volunteer sort of peer groups and in several business units. And we're planning, and this is something that I've become quite literally obsessed with at this point, which is like trying to do that, like trying to, what does that really need? Like, what do we need to make that successful? And what does that look like? And we're beginning to define that, but it's really around transferring the ownership of who's really maintaining that group and holding that group accountable, and transferring that accountability, or at least making it a dual accountability situation where myself as an innovation leader and not necessarily a business leader that's running a, you know, business unit or overseeing some sort of work group or something that is supporting a business unit. I can only do so much when I push those initiatives and those groups. And we've had quite a bit of success. We have, you know, very successful groups, and we also have situations where momentum builds and then it dies. And really trying to learn from that and go, okay, what's working over here that's keeping that going without a lot of maintenance? And how can we take that approach and that culture and sort of bottle it up, make it, you know, turn it into a framework and teach people how to do it, and then figure out how to support them rather than trying to push the flywheel ourselves. There's only so many of us, and really what I really want to do is democratize the innovation process in a way. I want everyone at DPR to be able to know where to get stuff and how to leverage our program. And that is the way to try new things, right? And so that's one of my big goals for this year, is like, yeah, Figure out a rollout plan, really, you know, talk to some business leaders about what that needs from them, talk to them about what I'm bringing to the table, because there's a lot in store in terms of benefits for their people. It's an opportunity to lead a peer group that not everybody gets that opportunity. It's an opportunity to facilitate and learn things and get training that, you know, is not exclusive, but, you know, doesn't necessarily get offered to everybody. It gets them access to different people and different leaders, including myself and the rest of the innovation team. So there's a lot of benefits there, but there's tons of benefits to the business and specifically the local business unit. So really looking forward to that and want to make a big push for that.
Yeah, I love the term you use. Just like, when, man, when you're obsessed with something, you like are committed. And like, I feel like that term just has such a negative connotation, but man, in our world, it's like, oh man, that's when it gets really fun. It's like, no man, I'm obsessed to figure that out. And yeah, I think just like hearing what you said is just like, hey, how do you communally help grow innovation within your like teams and companies? And that's hard to do. Like, you guys obviously are doing amazing things in different regions and jobs. And like, how do you personalize that with people from like a community standpoint internally to help grow it even more than what it is, and, you know, putting some structure and handles to it. So it's awesome. It's cool to hear. Lucas.
I didn't want to jump in front of Gary and Cole. You guys,
I saw the thumbs up. I couldn't tell if that was a hand up or just you.
Not yet.
Go for it, Lucas. We'll get to those guys.
I would say looking at 23, you know, again, to build on Josh's component or kind of what he was mentioning there, I think one of the biggest things that I'm excited about, outside of all of the fun, you know, robotics and computer vision and AI stuff that's out there that seems like we've been talking about in these circles for 5-10 years, is like finally starting to happen. So like, that itself is exciting. But what I'm most excited about is taking all of that and applying it in a meaningful way to solve real problems for our team members, simplify their operations, connect things well, and kind of rethink about the user, the experience of a Ryan team member. Right? Generational changes are happening inside of everyone's businesses. It's kind of the upcoming expectation that our systems and tools work better together. And it's not the brute force of, you know, typing things into spreadsheets. And, you know, those, while that probably worked for a lot of us for a lot of years, we're starting to see kind of that shift, that there's higher demand and higher expectations for kind of the operating procedure of your company working together. So kind of in my role, new role, I get to work with a lot of our really great in-house development team members that are building tools and building those integrations and our own UIs and our own things to make being a Ryan team member on a job suck less, like go home earlier, because the tools, ideally someone, there's a group of people working behind the scenes to make the tools function together, rather than having 37 different websites you need to go to over the course of your day to do 10 jobs, right? Why do you have 37 websites to do 10 jobs? So it's been really fun, and it's something to really kind of like catapult us into the next year. And as these new, you know, AI and things come into play, as Josh's point, they're disruptors. They're going to change your roadmap that you thought you had set in stone. They're going to change it. They're going to change it the minute you think you have something figured out. And to take all of those and feed that into that model and hopefully come out on the other end with a better product, it's exciting.
Well said. I was just thinking, like, yeah, you guys are like getting boxes from your basement or pulling things down from your attic. And like, this is the, like, we do a lot of fall cleaning instead of spring cleaning, but it's like how hard that is at home. And then you realize that's like exactly what's happening at the office. It's like, oh, I got 38 tabs of things. Just like I got 38 boxes of things I got to sift through at home. it's awesome to just like declutter that stuff and be like, all right, what do I need to keep using here? And yeah, I just think that is definitely a theme for a lot of folks next year and trying to stay all connected. Josh.
Hear me all right? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, for me, I think there's a couple things. We're growing in the new product types as a as a builder and developer. So new product types takes new approaches. So operational changes are going to need to happen. We're going to need to take different looks at how we go about managing the day-to-day. So with that comes new process and trying to design that new process internally, you know, whether it's our scheduling approach on a project or, you know, how we go about, you know, just layering in, you know, daily activities that our managers on site are supposed to do, you know, they're going to change due to this new product type that we're working on. So I enjoy and I'm looking forward to supporting that and trying to build that out and figure out what that looks like for our teams. So that's the first thing. But the second thing I started thinking about that we're planning for and going to focus hard on here in the first part, especially of 2024, is how to layer technology into our operations in new capacities and new arenas. And what I mean by that is Lucas and I think have both been talking with our sustainability group, and we're starting to look at, okay, how does sustainability fit, you know, our goals there? How does that fit with our tech adoption plan? What's available with respect to technology out there in the sustainability realms of our operations, or scheduling? Same thing with scheduling. There's a long ways we can go with scheduling. So how can we layer in some new technology and new opportunities there to make our scheduling operations more efficient and better, and start to capitalize on a lot of information that's at hand there in those tools? So those are just a couple of things that kind of come to mind for me with respect to, you know, the coming months.
Yeah, I think the theme that, like, it's so funny when we've done these episodes, like, you guys obviously don't know what each other's talking about from episode to episode, but the themes that stand out so much, and at Wilson, this was like the very first one of the season, you're just talking about, like, hey, like, technology's impact on our people, and like, here it is, like, in every episode we did, I feel like this season, that for sure felt like the common thread through it. Like, how do we get people to go home earlier? How do we not make them feel as overwhelmed with the 37, you know, things? It's just interesting because I feel like that is a huge paradigm shift when people think about technology now, is not like technology for technology's sake, but like, hey, like, how does this actually impact us, like, in our roles, like, what we're doing? And so it, just to call out, even hearing some of the notes you guys are saying here, just the excitement for that next year and being the communal side of it, Josh, and also just like the technical side of it too, other Josh. But yeah, good note. Brian, I saw your hand up in there too.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to say, you know, we hear all these statistics on, like, you know, by 2035, we're going to be like decarbonized, like all these different types of statistics. Like, I'm curious, like, for your average, you know, let's say $100 million plus general contractor, how long it's going to take until reality capture plays a part in every single project, no matter how small the project is. Like, it's just going to become the standard. Like, at what point is every single project going to have some touch of this? I was just curious, like, what people thought about, like, the rollout plan, like, company wide. You know, you have these, anything from a $5 million fit out all the way to your data centers.
Think about how fast it's, Sean. Think about how fast it's come on board. I mean, 12 years ago, I don't remember ever talking about this stuff, and not to this degree. And here we are, 6 years on our. We have a large Vanderbilt project here in Nashville that we're just wrapping up. We've been here 6 years. We're getting ready to start another big one. But the technology that we've implemented in that 6 years is multiplied. I think it's going to come fast. I really do. I think it's. Technology is going to steamroll some of our processes, and that's some of these folks have been talking today. Getting them implemented now are so important to try and make them part of your tools and your toolbox for your people. It's just happening. It's happening right in front of us.
Especially Sean, like, a huge part of your episode was talking about the, like, how you use it to communicate to the owner, and like, now that owner is exposed to something that they're like, why wouldn't I do this going forward? Right. So it's, that's just right. Like, you kind of have this, right. Multiplication effect. But yeah, that was pretty much just my question for the group in general, just like in their own mind.
Wilson, you want to add to that?
I was going to say that. I mean, that's how we stay competitive. That's the reason our ownership's invested so heavily into technology, is, you know, for us to be a $400 million a year in revenue company sitting here with guys are topping $10 billion a year in revenue. You know, we've got, it's fast and we've got to adopt it quickly. So, you know, we see it on our side, on the smaller side, that it's an imperative to stay competitive. And it's turned into, from like, it was an imperative, you know, started out as an imperative to stay competitive. Then it was like, we talked about it on our podcast a little bit, was, you know, we needed technology as a way to improve quality of life of our people and, you know, build better. That's, I think we're pretty aligned with everybody here that like, we want to build cool stuff, and technology enables us to build some of the really, you know, really cool projects that we all got into the construction industry to build. And now, like, what I'm looking forward to on like 2024 is we've built out a really strong VDC group. We've built out really strong construction tech, and that is paving the way for things like sustainability. It's paving the way for our planning and scheduling groups. It's paving the way for data analytics. So that's, you know, what we're looking for is like, maintain excellence within our VDC group so that we can start to really put some horsepower behind things like being sustainable. Because if your head's in the ground and you're focused on the immediate problem in front of you as a superintendent, and you're looking at what this latest issue is on site, you're not considering what is this thing I can, you're not planning for the future because you're dealing with that problem right there. So if we can solve those problems ahead of time with technology, so we don't have to be faced with them and solving them in the field, we get to plan ahead for cool things like sustainability. We get to build out cool tools and procedures with our data analytics and start to grow these departments that are now for us and kind of their infancies that were what VDC to the company was 5 years ago. So we're starting that kind of next cycle of, let's keep our VDC groups going strong, and now let's have them clearing the trees out ahead, and let's look for what's next with all these other different opportunities in the business.
Well said. Gary, Cole, what do you guys got? And then we'll land the plane here and get you guys to your weekends.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of echo a lot of the buzzwords I heard from this group, expectations is a big one, right? That's what's changed. I think that, you know, as Josh said, we've always been obsessed with what we do. We kind of have to be, right, to be in this kind of business. I think we're all obsessed with technology on some level. But what's changed and what we've kind of been seeing that would work for really in my whole career, I think what's changed in the last couple of years, really this year, is just clients' expectations. Like, they've heard of it enough. They see things are out there. Now, like, they expect us to deliver a certain way, right, in a more efficient way. So, you know, it doesn't take us to be advocates for technology really anymore like it has in the past. We have our executives, our people in senior leadership, they're hearing these comments from clients, right? So as these clients are expecting us to deliver a certain, you know, in a certain way using technology, it's kind of, instead of us going to our executives to change things, it's our executives coming to us to supplement those requests from clients. So I think that's just a big boom that we've seen in the last year or two that's allowed us to scale our services and our kind of our plan even more.
Yeah, the path has been paved, needless to say. And the only thing I'm going to add for 2024, I'll say it, I think one person mentioned it, but I'm going to say it, AI.
What is that?
I am ecstatic about AI. It is a minion that each and every single one of us should be using in some form or fashion. I think the future of AI with everybody in their everyday lives is about to explode. And it's really exciting. Obviously, there is the side of everybody that's thinking like it's the demon, but I promise you guys, AI out there is those little yellow guys, those little minions out there ready to help us and do our jobs, make our lives easier every single day. And, you know, we've been spending years and just consuming data from left and right, and data has just become a problem at this point. We just don't use it. And AI here is to use that and help us in our everyday lives. So I'm ecstatic about it, ready to see it change our industry. And I mean, heck, it's popping into all of our tools nowadays. So it's great.
It's funny. I haven't heard it associated as a minion, but I might steal that one from you, Cole.
I like that.
But it's interesting, Sean, what you said of like, gosh, we've been out here for 6 years or even just, I think 12 years is the like time frame you use. I mean, we weren't even talking. I mean, this is a blanket statement. We weren't all talking about AI like 12 months ago when we first started this podcast, 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
And like how fast that even subset has changed. And obviously there's reasons for it. There's so many things that would show why that's changed so fast. But yeah, I just love what you said, Sean, of like, oh, well, we've been out here for 6 years and think how much stuff has changed. And now we're talking about a 12-month period with things like AI. So yeah, it is crazy. Each one obviously has its own kind of speed and I guess path of how much it's accelerating. But Randy, Josh, and then I'll close this out. Randy, what do you got?
I'll be quick. So everything we've talked about here, things looking forward to. What I'm excited about is to see how these processes and technologies can allow the human touch to thrive. Instead of being bogged down with repetitive, mundane work, chasing data, trying to search through things, you know, when we're leveraging all of these things working together, it allows us to do our jobs better, more effectively, and ultimately, you know, our quality of life, not just at home, but on the job, you know, doing our normal activities can be better and allowing us just to thrive. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, well said. Josh, go for it.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the question about reality capture and adoption there. I think that for me, that's a gigantic topic, right? That's a huge thing that I think probably most, if not everybody on the call would agree that, like, reality capture has become this term that is just as big as VDC. It's got its own industries. It's got its own service providers. I think, you know, it's hard to put a prediction on your question, Brian, but I think to some degree, like, everybody's using some sort of reality capture at this point, because I consider photos reality capture, right? So I think what I'm seeing, though, if you think of trends, is, and I've talked about this on other forums, but I think we're seeing a very similar trend to what we saw in, I'll say, around 2008 to 2012-ish with VDC, where there's a combination of a lot of things happening. I think the industry, as it usually is a little bit further ahead, and we're sort of coming out of that trough of disillusionment with reality capture and beginning to be more subjective about what we can use it for and finding specific use cases and thinking about it from a use case perspective and not just the technology first. But also seeing other indications that we're getting to sort of a tipping point, if you will. And that's, the owners are getting involved. Owners are not getting involved, but they're not only getting involved, rather, but they're creating requirements and specifications, and they're going out and learning what standards are out there and trying to implement them. And I think what we need to learn from what happened with VDC is, now is our time to step in and say, I love that you are getting involved in that. Let me help you understand, like, what to ask for, because what happened with BIM is everybody started asking for the world, and it became very interesting really quickly. And all of that really highlights, you know, some additional needs we need for reality capture in terms of, you know, planning and understanding how we're going to, you know, execute it. But it's a really exciting time because of all those things. I think that we're on the cusp of a lot more adoption and a lot more converging of technologies that, you know, come together, just like construction site and drone deploy, you know, come together and see something that, you know, 1 + 1 is greater than 2 kind of thing. You get more value out of it. So really exciting time. I think we're, like I said, getting to that tipping point. So I think it's only a matter of, you know, a handful of years, Brian.
Awesome. Team, we are creeping up towards our time here. And one, I said this at the top, but man, it's so fun. These conversations, we could have these weekly and quite often if we wanted, and just really appreciate you guys squeezing us in a busy season in between holidays and wrapping up this season. If you guys haven't connected with each other, obviously we'll put links to your guys' profiles. And if the listeners here, if you guys listening in aren't connected with these guys on LinkedIn, obviously would encourage you to do that. They are incredible resources to not only Brian and I and the Drone Deploy team, but I'm sure love that they would love to answer any questions that you guys have too that are listening in. And it's just great. It's fun to see how much this community has grown just around this topic of building different, implementing different, you know, all the things that Brian and I are trying to kind of focus on with these episodes. And this was never intended, you know, when we created this, of just like tracking followers and how many people are listening. But I think milestones, we talked about it earlier, you know, fun to celebrate. I think was it Thanksgiving Day, Brian, that it went over 1,000 followers? And that was kind of funny. I mean, and that speaks a lot to you guys, right? You guys are doing incredible things, and people are really interested in hearing how you guys are doing that. And in a disconnected industry like construction, it's so hard to, you know, interface and interact and collaborate with, you know, teams of your talent and companies of your guys' statures. And that's what Brian and I were hoping to do, was just have awesome conversations like this, provide hopeful resources for people who are interested in the topic. And we couldn't do that without you guys. So one, just again, appreciate all the time that you've given us and the wisdom that you've shared with us. It's really fun. And we feel really fortunate to be on the receiving end of that. And hopefully the folks listening in would feel that same way too. So Brian, anything before we close this out and let these guys go?
No, it's just kind of surreal that at the beginning of this year, when we first launched this podcast, it's kind of a whim of a decision between us. You know, we just met each other, and then the week later we had an extra booth at Procore, and we said, why don't we just start a podcast? And to see the conversations and just like the buy-in from the executive teams, the buy-in from operations, like just like with safety, right? Like when safety became like a very large issue, it's like, oh, we have a safety guy. Yeah. Like that person's project, but now it's safety is every single person at the company's responsibility. And starting to see like a lot of that same type of culture go into the technology has been hopeful, grateful, and just looking forward to another year. And who knows, by the time next year, what this conversation could sound like is the sky's the limit. So
super exciting. Team, we are in between you and your weekends and your families. Many thanks. Appreciate you guys hopping on and making this reunion episode happen. For the folks that are tuning in, we hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. Something new that LinkedIn just did, which we just caught wind of this, is you can actually message our page on LinkedIn. So if you have questions or things, feel free to message us over there. We'd love to answer some of those or point you guys in the right direction, either to our guests that are on here today or any other episode that we've put out there. So one, appreciate you guys again. Thank you guys so much. Many, many thanks. And thanks for listening in. We will see you guys next season and talk soon. Take care, guys. Make sure to subscribe to Built Different on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Let's build this community together.